All right, joining us now, someone who we love to read, and she does a great job, again, with The Athletic, and that is Melissa Lockhart. Melissa is all over the Giants farm system and knows exactly what's going on and watched that player draft, I'm sure, with interesting eyes. But, Melissa, nice to have you on the show today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you. And really, I saw your article this week, and, you know, we're always looking for more pitching. And there were names that you came up with in the Giant farm system that I was not aware of. And you described it beautifully, what kind of pitchers they were. So I thought if you could share that with the audience, a little bit of maybe some of the pitchers who are coming up who we may not really have heard of yet, and that can have an impact in the big leagues.
Yeah, you know, it's been a good year for some of the guys they got last year, whether it was through the draft or, you know, through trades. One of the guys I didn't mention in that deal, in that particular article, was Sean Anderson, who's at AA Richmond, and they got him last year from Boston in that Eduardo Nunez deal. But he's been fantastic. I think he's the guy that competes in the rotation next year and, you know, maybe their top starting pitching prospect right now. Another guy, Jason Barr, had been their fifth-round pick last year out of Central Florida. A really interesting story. He had been actually cut from his college team as a junior, came back as a senior under a new coaching staff, and had put together a fantastic year, moved himself up as a prospect, and then, you know, 6'6", could hit 96 with his fastball, and jumped up to San Jose this week. So he's, you know, he's a guy that I think will have an interesting impact on their starting rotation depth as well. And then another guy that I mentioned, John Gavin, is a local kid from San Jose, went to high school in Mountain View, and he actually threw 7 no-hit innings on Saturday. Left-hander, loved Madison Bumgarner growing up, 6'6", doesn't throw particularly hard, but really knows how to pitch, and is a guy that is kind of a thinking man's pitcher out there, and someone that I think you could see slotting in that back end of a rotation at some point. And then Connor Menez is a guy that's been in San Jose the last couple of years and finally got a jump up to Richmond. And he's a guy, too, another lefty that he's got a good fastball-slider combination. May not stick as a starter ultimately in the big leagues, but I think he's got a chance to be a pretty good reliever even if he can't stick as a starter. But another tall, Giants like their tall pitchers, and he's a guy that he gives some length out there, gets down the mound well, and you know, can get in on the hands on hitters on both sides of the plate.
Boy, Melissa Lockhart, great report. I want to tell you, you ought to be part of, you ought to be in the room there when they go through the prospect.
Dialed in.
Really, very good. What strikes me a little bit is the size of the pitchers.
Right.
And the fact that in today's world, you have to throw hard. And I like that part of it. I'm intrigued with Jason Barr. It sounds like he's maybe the closest of all these. Maybe Anderson is. In your opinion, who's the closest to making a jump?
Yeah, you know, I think Anderson, definitely. He's a guy that he actually pitched for Sacramento in that Giants-Sacramento scrimmage right before the start of the year. And I know Bruce Bochy has been impressed with what he saw from him. I expect he'll get some time in AAA by the end of this season and, you know, could pitch in the Arizona Fall League, you know, this fall. And I would give him an outside chance of earning a fifth starter spot next year, even in the spring.
Boy, very nice. Melissa Lockhart with us from The Athletic and does a great job, as you can tell, is really understands what's going on in the minor leagues for the Giants. What about the draft? And we talk about, you know, big, tall pitchers. Maybe you could throw hard. They drafted a guy who was 6'11". How about that?
Yeah, you know, he's funny. He kind of puts that whole Giants-like tall pitchers to the extreme because he's literally, I think, that he would be the tallest pitcher in the history of Major League Baseball if he made his big league debut. But a guy, Sean Jelly, pitched at the University of Kentucky. Probably hard to be 6'11", you know, at UK and not be on the basketball team. But he's a guy that already can get to about 94, 95 with his fastball. There's, you know, some thought that they could get even more velocity out there. And obviously, you know, the angle at which he releases the ball is going to be so unique because there's literally no one that can release it from that same spot. So he creates some really interesting challenges for hitters. He's got 2 secondary pitches that are already pretty well developed. And he pitched in that SEC conference that's obviously very competitive and did very well. So he'll jump right in. You know, they may be easy on him in terms of innings this year just because he had a big workload in college. But I'd imagine he probably starts out maybe in San Jose next year. And he should be on a pretty fast track up the system.
Well, pretty good. Look, they're going to need, in about 2 or 3 years, they're going to need a lot of pitching when the top three sort of tap out. And it sounds like there's some pitching on the way. And, you know, that's why I love the report, because these are names that we don't hear every day. Melissa Lockhart with us. Melissa, the other thing I want to ask you, you know, and you see Sir Anthony Dominguez coming up to Philly out of nowhere. Do the Giants have any guys like that in the minor leagues that could just walk into a bullpen and say, okay, I throw 98 and I can get big league hitters out?
Well, you know, there's this guy in Sacramento right now named Ray Black, who I think everybody's sort of heard a little about for many years now, because he's sort of been like the Sid Finch of the Giants system. He exists, but he doesn't exist, because unfortunately he's had so many injury problems. But when he's out there, he's a guy who hits 102 with his fastball, and it can be very dominating. And it's just been an issue of, can they keep him on the field? And so far, so good this year. He's been healthy. He finally made it out of Double-A and up to Triple-A. He's still pitching every third day, and I think probably they need to see him be able to go back to that days before he's able to come up and be in a big league bullpen. But, you know, he has the stuff to be dominant if he can stay healthy and be out there every day.
Boy, it's going to be a lot of fun to see that. I know Ray Black, and I've seen him in spring training a number of times. Every time I'd interview him, the next day he would get hurt.
So I know.
I
stopped interviewing him after that. Well, Melissa, thanks for being on with us. We love having you on. And if you get The Athletic, you should. If you don't, you should. But if you do get it, Melissa does a great job with these prospects and keeping you up to date. So I appreciate you being on.
Thank you, Marty. I appreciate it.
Yeah, very good. That was great.
It's good insight, because a lot of the names that we heard as potential, back end of the bullpen help or middle relief help have now come to the majors this year. There's a whole other crop of guys we haven't heard about. Maybe these guys were a year early, but now they've got big league experience. And she gave us 5-6 guys to pay attention to.
Yeah, well, you got Gavin Barr, Menez. And, of course, Anderson.
And then you got the Sean Jelly update.
Got Ray Black. Mm-hmm. So those are names that we really hadn't been talking about.
It's the next wave of guys, and maybe some guys you'll see in September also when they expand the roster.
Yeah, very good. Yeah. Boy, that's a good report.